broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go everywhere, anywhere, places other talk shows don't dare. We're also online at philhendryshow.com. If you go to philhendryshow.com and you have a backstage pass, you can watch us on live streaming video right now. It is Phil TV in HD. Behind me, the rolling, beautiful blue Pacific. This is where we broadcast from out here at the El Pacifico each and every night. We'd like you to join us. In fact, we demand that you join us. You can also access a daily podcast of our show with your backstage pass delivered directly to your pod thing. Or you can access thousands of hours of archive material. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. But I mentioned that for the purpose of you being with us here this evening. We also would like to welcome on board a brand new affiliate in Seattle, Washington, KVI. How wonderful it is to be back on the air with you great guys in Seattle, Washington. KVI, 570 KVI, Smart Talk. And I hope we don't, you know, it's Smart Talk, you know.
Yeah, you got the talk's good and everything.
You know, if it's Smart Talk, here's what we need to do. Don't say, so you got to do Smart to Talk good. You know,
yeah, you gotta say it right, man. What did I say?
It's Smart Talk, so you gotta talk good. Just let me handle it. It's Smart Talk, so we gotta talk. It's gonna be fine. A lot of stuff in the news, a lot of stuff having to do with politics. There's a couple of interesting sports things that have been going on. There's a number of things, a Twitter news story, and it may not mean much to a lot of you. It may mean a lot to some of you. Kanye West was on Twitter last night. And he was opening up, and I think there were some beautiful things that he had to say, and I don't think anybody took them serious. Everybody was mocking him, but I for my money, I heard a young man with a lot of material resource wanting to do good things for the world, and somebody's going to have to sit him down and tell him how things work. Now, before we do anything else, we have Casey Anthony came out with a new vlog, a video log today. And it was a bit of a story. We followed the Casey Anthony trial quite closely on this show. We, like you, were, you know, dismayed by the result of that trial. And the woman's subsequent behavior has been of interest a little bit, not much to me anyway. But now she shows herself on her video log, and she is there with short hair, blonde hair. And we're going to play the contents of that on the line with me from tonight from Pasadena's David G. Hall. We also have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in the studio. And I know that you had some parameters, David, before we play this video log of Casey Anthony's.
Well, the first thing that I wanted to say, first of all, Phil, is we appreciate, as you said, we appreciate our new listeners in Seattle. And we also want to point out the great support we've gotten from the great listeners in New York City. Who've responded to the Phil Hendry Show and elsewhere. Now, I want to say this. This is a serious news story. This woman is accused, as you know, Phil, or was accused, and she was acquitted of murdering her own child. Now, she was acquitted, and I need for you and I need for the audience to hear me say to you that we don't want to turn this into a comedy routine.
I understand.
All right, so this is an important moment, I think, in the life of this news story. This woman, Casey Anthony, now opening up with this video log. I don't imagine she says where she's living. That would probably not be a very wise thing for her to do, but I do think that looking at it, and it's in black and white, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I just noticed that. The fact that it is black and white, that she's using a black and white camera, maybe she rolled the color off of it, or whoever posted it.
I don't know, but that does say a little bit. I want you to make sure, though, that you don't do some of the things that I've heard people doing, which is to make these sounds, make these irreverent sounds, and Bud Dickman is there.
Yes, sir, I heard.
Okay, so we understand.
Yes, sir. Let me go ahead. You wanted to stay on the line, right?
I do, because I haven't heard it myself. The contents of it.
All right, let's go ahead and roll this. Casey Anthony talking here. This is her video log, and it was making news today. I don't know where she is. She's in a home someplace. She has changed the look. She has blonde hair. It's short. She's wearing glasses. And here we go.
So this is my first video diary. It is October 13th.
Hold on for a minute. Stop it. If you don't mind, Phil, I'd like you to stop the tape for just a minute.
Okay. And Phil, I'm just stop the tape
for just a minute so that I can make...
Okay, it's, yes.
You had me on. I heard. I wasn't. Was I on the air?
Yes, you were on the air. What did you do, bud?
I plotted down. Sorry.
Okay, we plotted you down by mistake.
Yeah, keep my line live, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Casey Anthony, this is her video log and...
So, this is my first video diary. It is October 13th, which is a Thursday, 2011. And I'm just starting to figure out my new computer, and... I don't know. I guess I'm liking it so far.
Yeah.
Stop the tape for a minute. What did I just hear you guys do?
I'm sorry?
What did I just hear Dickman say?
Well, he said, oh, brother.
I said, oh, brother.
Yeah, and then I heard you go, yeah.
Yeah.
I said, I don't want to turn this into some comedy bit.
I didn't know that that was a I mean, we were commenting.
No, I don't want to hear any, yeah, or any of that.
Well, are you telling me that we are not allowed to react to the tape?
No, you can react all you want. React all you want. But what I heard Dickman going, oh, brother, and you going, hey. You know,
I don't think I even did that, David. I mean, but what did you say?
I said, oh, brother, and you going, hey.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I just said. That's what I said. People want to hear what Casey Anthony has to say and not listen to you two guys color it with sarcasm. You understand? So,
I didn't know I was coloring it with sarcasm by just going, huh, you know.
No. You didn't go, huh. I heard Dickman say, oh, brother, and you went, hey, hey. What are you laughing at?
I didn't do that. I don't remember doing that.
Look at Phil. I'm not kidding around here. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
All right. I don't want any commentary and any sarcasm and satire and all this. It's a serious news story. And we've got people that are listening, got new people in Seattle and elsewhere. So let's do this like professionals.
David, everything I do as a professional.
Okay, hold on. Hey! Oh, my goodness. Are you happy now? Okay?
I wasn't... Talk about sarcasm.
Look, I want to get this done before the break in a professional manner.
Okay.
Please start the tape.
All right. Casey Anthony and her video log... Boom, here we go.
So this is my first video diary. It is October 13th, which is a Thursday, 2011. And I'm just starting to figure out my new computer, and I don't know. I guess I'm liking it so far.
All right, stop the tape. God,
it's obviously different.
I swear to God, Bill, you know.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What did I do now, man? I didn't do anything.
You went,
Yeah, I did hear that, Phil.
Oh, get out of here, man. All I did was exhale.
What?
I exhaled.
No. I heard distinctly she's going to my new video. She's, in other words, she's in a place of insecurity, and you go, Swear to you, if I was close to you, I'd probably smell the onions on your breath. And,
well, thank you for that, David. Talk about childish.
What are you talking about? You're the guy that is exhaling in this exhibitionist manner while I'm trying to hear this news story.
I did not exhale in an exhibitionist manner. I exhaled.
Boy, it did sound like you was bored.
Boy, I really like how you're turning on me.
I'm not just sounding like you're bored.
What do you think, Robert?
Well, I mean, it did sound all you like going,
Yeah, see? I heard you go, and she's going, I'm really trying to figure out my computer. And
now, who's mocking who?
I'm not mocking her. I'm giving the counterpoint of the whole thing. She's going, I want to do my computer. And you go, Like, if you had garlic on your breath, you would have killed everyone in the room. So,
all right, fine. Isn't that funny? So we'll play the tape. I'm sorry that I was breathing.
Oh, don't get like that, Phil.
That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I said if you're going to breathe, if you're going to breathe, you're going to breathe like this. Good God! Have some decency.
Oh, I wasn't doing that, David. All I did was... Here is the tape. I'm sorry I made a noise.
Ball game for me, because I've never used this before. So, I guess these will be as tedious as my audio recordings have been. I guess, to start off this one. Just a few updates from the last
few
days.
Stop the tape!
What?
Are you going to tell me that you didn't hear yourself go, you snort like a pig?
Yeah, you were snorting some snot down.
What? I was still...
Are you an idiot or something?
No, I'm not an idiot. I didn't think that you didn't want me to make noises. I thought you didn't want me to criticize.
I don't want you to criticize.
Then how is me snorting criticizing?
It sounded to me like you were going to, you know, you were going to go ahead and lay a loogie. It sounded like this. You went... Like you were ready to just fire one.
Oh, bull crap, man. I didn't do anything of the sort. I snorted or sniffed, and that was it.
No. Now, Bud, what do you think?
Well, that yeah, it did sound like you were going, you know.
Yeah, like you got a bullseye, man.
No, you guys are lying now.
No, we're not.
Wait, what do you call them, liars?
Because they don't want to lose their jobs, and they want to stay in tight with you. Bull crap. No, I didn't.
Phil, I swear to God, you went... Hey, turn around and look at me. Just like that.
No, I didn't do that.
Well, not just like that. But that was the intent.
No, it was not the intent, man. I'm going to tell you something right now.
Look, don't squeal like a... Please, Phil, Don't squeal like a woman, all right? And
I'm not squealing. I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to play this. I won't make any noise, but the minute you say anything, I'm going to turn your phone off. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, Casey Anthony's vlog. Like there's anything on there to listen to. We'll be back with it. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is along with us. Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard here. I failed to mention at the outset that we do have a slight technical disadvantage this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Our phones have been intermittent. The phone bank that we use is, as we say in the technical world, intermittent, which means it's not reliable. We've had a number of calls dropped. We've had connection problems from the people who are calling us to actually get them on the air. So, unfortunately, because of that, we are not going to be able to take phone calls this evening unless we get a green light at some point, which I'm not quite sure when that will be, if it will be. I'm sure that they'll get the problem worked out eventually. But we do have, as I say, it's a technical situation that will arise from time to time. All right. We were talking about Casey Anthony and her video blog, or vlog, I should say, her video vlog, her vlog. That's,
Yeah, it's called a vlog.
Okay, a vlog. I'll get David G. Hall back up on the line here in just a moment. Unfortunately, I closed out the program that I was using, but it's her video diary, if you want to just use a term that everybody is conversant with. And here it is, and I'm not going
so
to...
So this is my first video diary. It is October
13th. Well, I mean, you interrupted her, you know.
Thursday.
Yeah, thank you, David.
But here she is. She starts talking.
And I'm just
That's what you're doing right now.
My new computer, and I don't know. I guess I'm liking it so far. It's obviously a different ballgame for me. I've never used this before. So I guess
wait, hold on for a minute.
Tedious as my audio
stop
recordings.
It, bud. Wait a second. A minute ago, you were telling me to shut up.
Yeah.
What are you going?
Well, she sounds like an idiot.
I thought you didn't want any sarcasm.
I don't want any from you.
Well, then, how come you get to be sarcastic?
Phil, I happen to be an officer with the company Henry Radio that has a part in syndicating your. What do you mean? Where do you? Why are you even asking me questions? I happen to be a part of the administrative authority of your show, and
which means you can come on here and go and do anything that you want.
No, I'm not that petty. I wanted to make sure that you and Dickman and Robert, who have been known to say some of the most tasteless things imaginable, I wanted to make sure that you guys. We're under wraps and under control. Excuse me. Now, that I didn't mean to do.
Oh, okay. So I'm under wraps and under control. You're belching.
So we have one belch. I apologized. I'm sorry. I've been drinking coffee all day. My stomach is a wreck. I haven't had a thing to eat. And you know what I'm doing? I'm out there pitching for you.
I appreciate that, David.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Sounds to me like you don't appreciate it. It sounds to me like you're looking for an excuse.
No, I'm not looking for any excuse. I'm simply trying to find, as we say, the parameters. Can we keep playing this?
I'm not stopping you. You're the guy to stop the tape.
Okay. Thank you. Casey Anthony.
Have been. I guess to start off this one, just a few updates from the last few days. There really hasn't been all too much going on except now for this. And I'm extremely...
She's a real
piece of ass,
though, isn't she? Hold on for a minute. See, that's exactly what I mean. That comment right there, which is something that I would never have been... You would never have let me get away with something like that.
What?
She's a piece of ass, isn't she?
That's not sarcasm. I was just looking at her. You know, the more you talk, the less people hear of the Casey Anthony video diary. They want to hear her, not you. As much as you think you're wonderful, Phil, they want to hear her.
And they don't want to hear you going, well, she's a piece of ass, ain't she?
Well, what are you sitting there telling me she's not?
This has got nothing to do with anything, what you're talking about right now. I want to hear this. Put him on hold.
Don't you dare put me on
there. Oh, God, the silence. Casey Anthony.
My new computer, and I don't know. I guess I'm liking it so far. It's obviously a different ball game for me, because I've never used this before. So I guess these will be as tedious as my audio recordings have been.
Wait. What the hell was that? What did I just hear?
He was the wrong button.
What button are you trying to hit?
I was trying to just find the door. The remote to the door.
For who?
For Mr. Hall. He's going to be here.
Just a few updates from the last few days. There really hasn't been...
Just shut up, will you?
...all too much going on except now for this. And I'm extremely excited. I'm extremely excited that I'll be able to Skype and obviously keep a video log.
Okay. All right. That's it. Both of you guys...
I didn't do anything! Get out of here! I didn't do it.
I don't care. Get out. Both of you.
It's been a long time since I've been able to call something mine, and now that I have something, even, you know, as silly as saying that I have a computer and a camera and a phone, granted, you know, I wouldn't have the phone without
you. Oh, great. Oh,
I actually now paid for my own computer.
Mm-hmm.
The camera was a gift, but these are things that are mine that I don't have to...
Yeah,
I don't know, that I don't have to give back.
Who gives a crap, lady? Who cares about
you? It's
kind of
nice finally being able to say that I have some belongings that are mine that I'll be able to take with me after I leave here next year.
The Earth. Next year. She's leaving next year. Aha. A hint. A clue. Well, this is next year. She did this in October. How come we're just seeing it now? And why do I care? Well, it's a look into the mind of a sociopath. It's a psychopath. They are self-centered people. They're not aware of feelings that others have. All they know is their own and how their world sucks and how, look at what's happened to me, and at least I have something that I can call my own, my computer. If you think that she's going to feel bad about what you and I and all of us know she did, no, she never will. She can't. It's physically impossible. Do you understand? She can't do it. What do you want, bud?
Oh, nothing. Mr. Hall said that what you're doing right now is really good, and he wants to be able to hear it.
He can listen on the radio.
No, he wanted to come on the air and just apologize.
Is he on the line?
Line two.
Unbelievable. Yeah, David.
I'm really sorry, Phil. I what you're saying is really good. Can I hang out and listen?
Yes, you can hang out and listen.
I'm very, very sorry. I shouldn't have...
What I'm basically saying here is that Casey Anthony...
Do you really think she doesn't care about people?
Can I say what I want to say without you butting in?
Sorry.
Well, now here we are, the end of the segment. Thanks a lot.
Please don't hang up.
Then we're going to comment on it. I'm not letting him on the air. I ain't letting you on the air, or you on the air. You, all of you out there. You're members of the Largo Volunteers. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's from High Plains Drifter.
That's right.
You, all of you. I'm just kidding.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. With me tonight is Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. We've had David G. Hall with us. I've attempted to play the Casey Anthony vlog. Now we're going to play it all through because what I've done is just locked the studio. Everybody is gone. We'll play this vlog. We'll comment on it. We'll, discuss it. We will bandy it about. We'll kick it around. Kick her around in lieu of her being here. We'll kick something around that looks like her. In any event, here she is.
So this is my first video diary. It is October 13th, which is a Thursday.
She recorded this obviously in October.
And I'm just starting to figure out my new computer, and I don't know. I guess I'm liking it so far. It's obviously a different ball game for me because I've never used this before. So I guess these will be as tedious as my audio recordings have been.
I never heard any of those.
I guess to start off this one, just a few updates from the last few days. There really hasn't been all too much going on except now for this. And, I'm extremely excited. I'm extremely excited that I'll be able to Skype and obviously keep a video log.
Skype. She's going to
take some pictures, and then I have something that I can finally call mine.
You're listening to Casey Anthony.
It's been a long time since I've been able to call something mine, and now that I have something even, as silly as saying that I have a computer.
Right.
And a camera and a phone, granted.
Mm-hmm. It is silly.
And I wouldn't have the phone without actually now paid
Chuck
for my own computer. The camera was a gift, but these are things that are mine that I don't have to give back.
Like your kid, you had to give
nice
back to
being able to say
God,
that I have some belongings that are mine that I'll be able to take with me after I leave here next year.
And head to hell. Now, just a comment, the kid, she doesn't have anymore, so she can't, it was fun when you had that kid, but now the kid's dead. You have to find something else. She's got a camera and a computer, and she bought
it's
the camera, so.
Think about, actually. I know it's going to be a while since I leave. I'll be here for many, many months more, even if I'm only here for 6 months, even if I get off probation early. I'll still be here at least until February, the end of February. 7 months, March, my birthday. It's just either way. Whether it's 6 months or it's a year from now or a year from the middle of August. I don't know.
Yeah.
This has just been such a blessing in so many ways.
Oh, you bet.
More and now I in some ways have someone to talk to even when I'm by myself, so I'm not.
Right. Well, you can talk to us.
Poor dog. Who I've adopted, and I love.
A dog.
And he's as much my dog as any of the other pets I've ever had.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Dog hasn't much got much time.
I've ever had, if not more so.
Not more so?
I don't know.
Yeah, you are
boring. Whether to look directly at myself, or look up, or
look at yourself. Do what you always do. And by the way, that dog, I give it, a few weeks. Well,
oh, man. I don't know. Just a little surreal how much things have changed since July.
The kid died.
How many things haven't changed.
Still a dead kid.
But the good thing is that things are starting to look up and things are starting to change in a good way. And just hope they stay, that things stay good and that they only get better.
What is that that they say?
They'll only get better.
Really don't have much to say, do you, there, Casey?
So this is the end of my first video log. I'll probably do another one later.
Maybe what?
Maybe I'll bring the dog. Who knows?
Yeah, bring the dog, and you can kill it on camera.
But this is, again, the first of many. And
oh, goody.
I'm looking forward to this.
Well,
it's a little scary because I hate being on camera, but...
Sure you do.
I don't know. I need to conquer that fear at some point, and this is a good start. So?
It's not really a good start.
Something.
Yeah.
It's the end of the first. Just the beginning.
Yeah. Blow it out your, you know what. So there is her first vlog. You can see the emptiness there, the complete emptiness that only a psychopath can achieve. And the reason for that is because they have no emotional life, it's really difficult for them to fantasize or conceptualize things beyond their own sick fantasies, which have to do with death and the dismemberment, or at least the destruction of other human beings. And that's nothing they're going to cop to on a video vlog. So, or a video log, or a video diary, or a vlog, or a dog, or a four-legged log, or, you know, whatever.
Probably the dog. Call out a video dog that the dog's going to kill.
She better not kill that dog. It's just an alert to the Humane Society and anybody, you know, she's got a dog? You know how these psychopaths start out? Killing animals, man, and starting fires and wetting their beds. Now, somebody may think that that's sexy. I don't. Anyway, she is a, boy, she's textbook, man. She is a textbook psycho, which means she has got no feeling. Now, here's the thing that I was mentioning to Dan during a break, because I've done a lot of studying on these people. I'm not an expert. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm none of that, okay? But I've read a lot of books, and I've, I'm smart, not like people say. I'm not dumb like people say. I'm smart. So what I did was, read up on this, and you'll find out that psychopaths are so, I'm telling you, you got to listen to this. This is very important. Psychopaths lack conscience to such an extent that they fool us all the time. Why do you think these people are able to gain the confidence of others? And why do you think they're able to gain our trust and our belief and have us arguing about the guilt or the innocence of them? Because they're able to put on the face of sanity. There was a book written in the 40s. It was a groundbreaking book called, what do you think it was called? It's called The Mask of Sanity. It was about psychopaths. It was the first book written. It was written by a Canadian doctor, I believe. The first psychiatrist to say, this is, we got a situation here, okay? And you have to understand, these are not sick people. They're abnormal people. That's the truth. They're abnormal.
What are you talking about, abnormal? She said she's going to kill a baby.
What? She never said she was going to kill a baby. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, man, she's not going to come out and say it.
She won't say she's going to kill a baby. She's going to go along with her life and say, boy, my life really sucks. What's impeding my life? I know this kid. I'll kill it.
Yeah, but don't you think she's going to feel bad about it?
No, she's not going to feel bad. That's what I'm trying to tell you. No.
Then how come they cry and everything?
They're crying for themselves, man. Let me give an example. When she was on the stand and her mother was recounting things, her mother started to cry, and then Casey Anthony started to cry. Casey Anthony was not crying out of empathy for her mother. She was crying for herself. She was being reminded by her mother of all the situations that she had been in and was in currently that made her life difficult. She was shedding tears for how crappy her life was. Now, this is not a conscious choice these people make. They're born this way. They're born that way as much as someone with a birth defect is born that way. You can't predict it. You don't know. They are now believing in some, areas of science that it is a genetic trait, that it's a mutation that is handed down from generation to generation in the gene pool and goes back to a time in human history when you needed to be hardcore and without a conscience, that somehow back in the day, humans had to be without feeling in order to survive. And I can certainly well imagine that, and that survives in some people to this day. And you have to imagine, it must be something that traces back hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years. The need to be hardcore and cold and calculating to survive has found its way into the genes of a select few. 4% is the number, by the way. 4% of the human race.
4% of just anybody?
4% of any group of people. I think that's about, I think that's the number. 4% are psychopaths. Now, to give you an example, give you a comparison, 3.7, I think they broke it down, 3.5 to 3.7% are anorexic. So we have a problem far more severe, or at least more severe, than anorexia, and yet nobody knows anything about it. Nothing. We're talking about anorexia till the cows come home, man. We got these psychopaths running around out there. They run businesses. They're not all murderers. They're not all sadistic, what they call sadistic psychopaths. Most psychopaths are people that simply lie, steal, cheat, and drive you insane. As soon as you think you've made a point with them, they turn around and they make another point, and you think you're starting a conversation all over again. Have you ever had a conversation like that with somebody? Have you ever had a conversation with someone who refuses to take responsibility for anything that they've done, even though it's clear to you and everybody else that they were completely destructive in their actions? Have you ever talked to those people and tried to get them to see you're never going to do it, man, because they, as far as they're concerned, the whole world is like them, and you're lying?
What are you talking about?
What I mean is, if you confront a psychopath and try to get them to take responsibility for something, they're not going to do it. They're going to get pissed, and they're going to get pissed because they're thinking to themselves, listen to this jackass trying to pretend like he's not like me. He is. The whole world is like this. I'm just better at it than them.
So they think everybody's like them.
Yeah. Yes. In varying degrees. And they just look for the weakest to take advantage of. It's not a moral issue, folks. It's not something they decided to do. It's what they are. And that's scary. And they're not sick. They're abnormal. And when we say they're not sick, what we're saying is they know the difference between right and wrong. They know what they're supposed to do, what they shouldn't do. They got that down in spades, man. And the worst thing you could do with these people is send them to a psychiatrist or a therapist, because all they do is they learn how to bullcrap even better than they used to. They sit and they stare at these psychiatrists and they bullcrap them. So there's Casey Anthony. Guess what she's doing, man? She's trying to run a game on us. Talk about how her life sucks. Talk about how she's, I finally have some, there's some guy out there, there's some schmuck out there who is buying into her bullcrap, who's going to want to write to her, who's going to want to become her pen pal, who may even want to marry her because she's a real piece of tail. And yes, David.
I don't appreciate you talking that way about Casey. I've had some communication.
Oh, will you get out of here?
David Hall, you want to marry her and everything.
No, he doesn't. He's acting like a jackball. But there's some jackass out there that's going to want to marry her and give her the life she never had. You know, he's going to want to understand her. Buddy, now that's a dead man walking, that dude.
You think she'd kill a man?
Yeah, yeah. If you kill a kid, you'll kill a man. Not a problem. It's easy. Poison? Hire somebody? You see them do it all the time, don't you? Remember that show that we were watching the other night, Bud, there on Investigation Discovery?
Yeah, like that lady, she hired a guy to kill her husband.
There's a million of them, man. A million of them. They're all over the place. She kills her kid, you better believe she'll kill a husband. Don't worry about it. And it doesn't, you see, in their mind, they're not going to get caught. You and I are going to say, well, won't that be an obvious trail? She kills her daughter, now her husband turns up dead. Not to her, it's not. To her, nobody's going to believe that she killed her husband because she's good, man. She can bullcrap people about her kid. Why can't she bullcrap people about her husband? She doesn't see the bigger picture. One of the things about psychopaths is they don't plan too good, man.
The one I'm getting caught?
They just don't plan for the future. They don't. They are the worst in many ways at committing crimes because they think they're so good at bullcrapping and finagling things that they are, you know, they'll be able to talk their way out of it. And they ain't near as good as they think they are, and they wind up getting caught. And then they wind up driving all the rest of us nuts as we watch them on trial, not taking responsibility for anything, not apologizing for anything, not copping to anything, just sitting there and acting the way they do. and lying about everything, and, you know, just like she did. And there you go. So,
better tell people about the phones and everything.
Yeah, the phones don't work. The only phone that works is David Hall's line, our newsmaker line. That's it. All of our phones tonight are down for a technical realignment, reassessment. Maybe we'll take the whole thing and throw it out in the middle of a road and have a truck run it over. I don't know, but we do have an intermittent problem. It happens. It is, though, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Join us at philhendryshow.com, Phil TV in HD. Coming back, Kanye West floods Twitter with thoughts and feelings and thoughts and feelings. And it wasn't any more interesting than Casey Anthony's. No, I'm kidding. It was okay. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we may have a visit from Dr. Ron Tarter and a discussion with him on a interesting series of articles published from Dr. Stephen Hawking. And I don't know if these were articles that he published himself or they were thoughts that were put down for him. I don't know. But in any event, Dr. Hawking was asked, you know, what still confuses you or what do you still find wonder in? And he said, women. I don't get women. Here it is here. What mystifies Dr. Hawking? Women. So,
yeah, well, how you figure out you
just shut up, bud, okay?
Are you in a hover-round?
All right, he's in a hover-round.
How are you doing out of that?
Shut up.
Okay.
So we'll talk to Dr. How do you do it out of that, man?
You said he got a deal.
Who are you talking about now? Don't talk in code. What are you guys talking about?
You said that Dr. Hawking got a deal of a hover round. Yeah, he's doing an endorsement.
He ain't doing any hover round endorsement. That was Tarter who said that. Tarter's got a problem with Hawking. Always has. Always will. And that's his trouble. It ain't mine. And I don't know nothing, man, said Sergeant Schultz. Okay? So,
what?
Sergeant Schultz.
He don't know that Hogan hero. What's Hogan?
Hogan's Heroes.
Is that... He thought it was about a, you know, lady with a boob.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
You said Hogan Hero.
What did you think it was, a calendar series or something?
Yeah.
You're an idiot, you know that? I mean, a real idiot, man. Hogan's Heroes, even people that are your age know what Hogan... It was a TV show. Okay?
Oh, that, yeah, the one with the soldiers.
You're an idiot. You knew full well what I was talking about. You just wanted a Hogan hero? Oh, wow. Hogan's Heroes, see, I can tell.
Well.
Hogan's Heroes was a TV show, and Sergeant Schultz was the guy, he was the German that kept bugging everybody. Okay? Thank you. Kanye West floods Twitter with a train of thoughts. Everybody was making fun of his grammar and, he was just, to me, I read his stuff, and the first thing that hit me was not so much to mock it, it was to say, you know, you've got grand plans and grand schemes, and God knows you have the resources to do what you want to do. Will you, can you, should you, would you, you know, well, here it is. Rapper Kanye West had the Twitterverse buzzing on Thursday. I got off the air last night, and I went over to Twitter, and my God, everybody, you know, was talking about Kanye West. Here we just broke our ass doing a three-hour radio show. Are they talking about us? Hell no, man. They're talking about Kanye West, as well they should, because, in any event, the Watch the Throne rapper spent more than 3 hours posting numerous tweets discussing his struggles in the fashion industry, his views on politics and infrastructure, and being inspired by his late mother, Donda, to start a design company in her name. We need to take what Michael Jackson felt and McQueen and Steve Jobs, and we need to make things better. McQueen is the designer Anthony McQueen, who passed on at the age of 41 or 2. He passed on. He committed suicide and was quite prolific and was very much admired and a man of achievement. And so his young death was tragic. This is Kanye West talking on Twitter. Okay, so that sounds good. During the early hours of Thursday morning from London, referring to the late singing legend and, of course, the fashion designer and Apple's founding visionary. Media outlets tried to interpret West's posts in various ways. interpret with publications such as Slate focusing on West's announcement of design company Donda, while others like MTV opted to highlight tweets telling readers what was on the rapper's mind. He's a mad genius, said Ian Drew, music editor of Us Weekly. His ideas are grandiose, but if you look at the history of Kanye, he would tweet an idea and it would happen. He's trying to be understood and heard. Now, a lot of the things that he said are admirable. And I think the reason why people reacted the way they did was, you know, if you've got a lot of bread, you and you are aware that you have a lot of bread, and not aware that you have a lot of bread just because you can spend it all on stuff. If you have a lot of bread, you and you're an aware person or a conscious person, you suddenly realize there's some great things I can do with this. And he was talking about sort of marrying creative impulses, the music business, design business, with education and government. And the cat was like, you know, going off on all that stuff. And Rich, at least he said something like, I haven't bought any jewelry or cars in 2 years.
That's bullcrap.
You don't believe that?
No way.
All right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner coming up next hour. And we'll read a little more about Kanye and all that stuff.
There's no way he invites. He's got gold teeth. He's got gold
Phil
teeth.
Henry.
No, he doesn't. He has diamond teeth.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and we will have with us this hour Dr. Ron Tarner to talk about an article written by Stephen Hawking on what mystifies him, women. You know, interesting. And Stephen Hawking is an interesting and, I must say, a fascinating man when you consider what he's lived through and been through and what he's achieved. So that's coming up. A little more on Kanye West, probably. And some thoughts on the new head coach at Penn State. He is the former offensive coordinator at the New England Patriots, Robert.
Yeah, if God's name is O'Brien... And he was an offensive coordinator. They had taken over at Penn State, stepping into some big shoes, you know.
Well, he's stepping into the big shoes of Joe Paterno, but he's also stepping into a situation. I got to ask myself, what did that cat promise them, and what promises did he get from them?
Yeah, he doesn't want to have no child molesters around there.
Well, no kidding, you know. And what assurances is he going to get? And, you know, and other thoughts we'll have. So we'll share that with our audience, too. And a technical note, our phone system is kaput tonight. It's not kaput, but it's tonight it's kaput. It ain't working, man. So we got one line, right, Robert?
Oh, I don't know, bud.
Yeah, we got one line. We can bring in Dr. Ron Tarner, but that about it.
Okay. 877-8... So what am I giving the phone number out for? Anyway, the phone lines, like I said, are down. They're intermittent. We'll get it fixed. Don't worry about it. Phil Henry Show. All right. We also were showing here on Phil TV and HD. If you do have Phil TV and HD, you are looking at the lower teeth of Kanye West. They are all diamonds. And he told Ellen DeGeneres, no, I didn't have my lower teeth coated with diamonds or covered with diamonds. I had my lower teeth pulled, and I had diamonds put into. You see, I think that as an artist, you're into artistic things, and maybe you're going to make your body like an art piece. Okay, that's cool, and I understand that. Now, there was a guy called the Mad King, and he lived a long time ago. Do you know the guy I'm talking about, Robert?
I only saw a couple things about it.
Well, this guy was so nuts that he did a lot of kooky things. He built weird-looking castles and strange-looking houses, and that's fine. But when you give a guy like that power over people, see, when a guy's nuts and he has the money to make all kinds of crazy-looking stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great, you know. Knock yourself out, man. Whatever you want to do, it's your money. Do it. But then when you give that guy a sense that he also is, well, you know, something. I think that this art stuff is fine, but I don't know. I'd like to run a company someday. And when then you start getting nervous, you're like Kanye. Kanye, that's very nice teeth. No, that's just the beginning. The teeth are just the beginning, because what I'm going to do from here, man, you don't even want to know. No, I don't. So. It's as they say, it's all good, you know. All right, so we have a situation with this new coach in New England. His name is O'Brien. Oh, I know what I want to say. Please watch us on Phil TV and HD and get your backstage pass. We're at philhendryshow.com. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. So this new guy in New England, the man's name is Bill O'Brien. He's the former offensive coordinator with the New England Patriots, and he has taken this job as head coach of Penn State. Now, I think that that is a fine, fine decision to make on the surface, but I just wanted to kick around with you guys something. Because you might say, well, somebody's got to do the job. You know, Joe Paterno's gone. Someone needs, okay, so whatever. You know, well, it's not exactly like that because Bill O'Brien agreed in principle to become the new Penn State coach, according to multiple news media outlets. Patriots coach Bill Belichick said that O'Brien missed practice Thursday, but he declined to elaborate on O'Brien's future with the team. Joe Linda, O'Brien's agent, declined to comment. The Penn State search lasted 8 weeks since the university fired Joe Paterno in the wake of a sexual abuse charges against the former defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky. Now, I don't want to be, I don't want to become just this nitpicking talk show host, you know, but, when did they start the search? So in other words, you've got a problem here. You've got a coach, legend's been fired. You've got another guy that's been arrested for molesting children. You've got charges. You may have lawsuits. And still, you're pressing ahead looking for a football coach. Now, yes, that's a job that needs to be filled if you're going to have a season.
What, you're saying they're not going to have a season?
I'm saying that what, all I'm saying is this, what Penn State's been charged with is so serious, Penn State now, forget about whether it's just, the whole school is on the line here, is so serious that if I were the university president, I would put every single ounce of effort into righting that wrong and riding that ship, and no, I don't think that looking for a football coach would be a number one priority. But you know what? I'm digressing here. Whatever. The point that I'm trying to make is, here's a guy, O'Brien. He's not a household name in college football. He sure as hell is not a household name, I don't think. In pro football, you know Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator of the Patriots, but the guy that gets named all the time is Bill Belichick. Don't even worry about it. Don't tell me. You got to be a stone-ass fan to really be, you know, just loving Bill O'Brien. He goes down there to Penn State. Now, there's a couple of scenarios. One is, I really want this job. This is my chance. This is what I've been looking for. A head coaching job at a major football program will put me on the map, man, because if I win down there, next stop, I got a head coaching job in the pros.
Yeah, but you got a head coaching job as offensive coordinator.
You get a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
You'll get a head coaching job as an offensive coordinator in the NFL, maybe, maybe not. Maybe he wants the credibility of the rep or the pub of being the head coach of a major college program, so that when it does come time to hire a coach in the NFL, this guy has got all kinds of major credentials. Offensive coordinator for a Super Bowl championship team. Head coach at a Big 12 school, Penn State, kicking ass, taking names. Now, if the guy's smart, he goes down to Penn State and he says, I really want this job. It's one of the most coveted jobs in college football, but you guys have got a few problems, you know.
Well, yes, that's, of course, Bill, we do.
You know, you got some problems here.
We understand that, Bill.
I can't be taking over a football program where I got some creeps running around here doing the stuff that this guy was accused of doing.
No, we understand, and we're taking steps.
And again, now another decision. Do I take them at their word? Do I ask them what else they're doing?
See what I'm saying?
How bad do you want the job?
What are you saying? You saying a guy shouldn't take the job?
I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering. And I, you know, he knows what he's, I'm just wondering if he really knows what he's stepping into. I would never question a man's intelligence, and it really isn't about intelligence. Sometimes what blocks us, or what blocks our ability to see, you know, down the road, is our ambition. So now he's down there, he says, they got a lot of weird asses running around here. I want to make sure that they're, fired.
Yeah, they're going to fire them.
Well, okay, now hold on for just a second. If this guy O'Brien's coming in there as the new head coach, if I'm him, and I'm not him, but I'll bet you I got money that says, the first thing he's saying is, well, I don't want any of these creeps hanging around. Get this McCready, all of these guys, gone.
You got to fire all the coaches?
Fire every last one of them.
I don't know, man.
Well, of course. Of course. Are you nuts? Fire every last one of them. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm not saying your child. I'm not saying anything. I got to bring my own guys in. I'm sure you understand. Thank you. And, you know, it's been a beautiful thing. Whatever. However Penn State wants to put it, you know, we're not accusing you guys. It's a new coach. And I think those assistants on the Paterno staff ought to know that.
Yeah, well, a lot of those guys with Paterno for a lot of years. Like, you talk about that McQuarrie guy.
Well, McQuarrie is going to have to just face the music, man. You're done. You are not going to be coaching on that football team. And if this O'Brien, there's no way. Now, that's what I would say. Now, what do you think Penn State says back to him?
They'd say yes.
Maybe. Maybe they say yes, 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 except for this guy and this guy and this guy. We got to keep these guys. Well, wait a second, man. Well, we've got deals with these guys. You got deals with them. So do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but the story says here that he agreed in principle. And that basically means that they've got, you know, that they figured it out.
I don't know what in principle means. Yes, I'd like to be coach of Penn State. Yes, I want the job. Okay? Does that mean that they've got everything, all the T's crossed and the I's dotted? Does that mean that all of the things that we've just been talking about, they've talked about and they've done? I don't know, man. And if I'm this guy, I'm just saying, if I'm this guy O'Brien, these are the questions that I would have. And I don't know what Penn State would say to me. I don't know what Penn State thinks they can get away with. I personally don't know what Penn State's doing or not doing, who they think they are or who they think they're not, whether they've actually been chastised by this experience, whether, you know, but they're going to have to, number one, if they want a good coach, they're going to have to let him call the shots. Number two, keep him as clean from all the other stuff that they're dealing with as they can. None of it touches him, and none of it touches the football program. Okay? And that means every last coach, everybody, gone.
Yeah, but there's guys have been there for a long time. Like, what about the guy that carries the towels and stuff?
What are you talking about, the towels?
Like the equipment guy.
Gone. Get rid of all of them. If they're all Paterno hires, gone. You know, that's just what I'm saying. And since his arrival in New England, O'Brien has been mostly anonymous assistant coach. Other than orchestrating the offense and serving as Tom Brady's quarterback coach, O'Brien may be best known for the sideline screaming match he had with Brady in a game at Washington last month. That was Bill O'Brien screaming at Brady. If you remember that video clip. That moment gave a window into O'Brien's fire. A Massachusetts native, he's known for his strong presence in the Patriots' locker room and in meeting rooms. That's it. He's never been a head coach, but the Penn State job will be about much more than coaching the team. The new coach will have to re-engage a fan base and rebuild trust in the wake of the Sandusky scandal. And by the way, you know, I'm sure the first question he asked was, you know, would you like to be the coach of Penn State? Yes, I would, but I have a question. Well, what was that? What would that question be? How many kids are gone, man? How many kids committed to you and now wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole? In other words, what am I looking at recruiting-wise? What's the story? Well, how many guys have said no thank you to Penn State? I got to know what I'm up against. Bill O'Brien's asking this question. I got to know what I'm up against when it comes to recruiting for the school. I mean, just exactly how much does this situation stink? So
that's a pretty good breakdown situation, Mr. Andrew. Better get going to get a Ron Tarner.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to go to Ron Tarner. Thank you very much. You don't have to keep pushing me along.
He knows he's got to go to Ron Tarner.
Yeah, but he may go into the next segment talking about it.
Don't worry about it. We'll be right back. We got Dr. Ron Tarner coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth, God, bud, is our bitch. The yeah. Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Ron Tarner's hanging on.
Good. Let him hang.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our El Pacifico broadcast here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere to, you know, to whatever the hell it is we do.
Thank you, places that are talk shows can't take you.
Exactly. Thank you, bud. All right, Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us from the University of Denver here in a moment. The story is, what mystifies Dr. Hawking women? This is from Science Museum via Reuters. Physicist Stephen Hawking has decorated his office at the University of Cambridge with all kinds of bare-ass women. I'm kidding. No, get out of there, bud.
Just see if you're lying enough.
Get out of there. Don't grab the news copy from me. I'll belt you. I'm kidding. No, he has decorated Stephen Hawking, the famed physicist, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist, has decorated his office at the University of Cambridge with Simpsons memorabilia and a prominent portrait of Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah. Is she nude?
I don't know if she's nude. Hold on. As famed physicist Stephen Hawking turns 70, the subject that most occupies his thoughts is not how the universe arose from nothing. It's how his thing is going to arise from nothing.
Please, don't.
Grab the paper, man. I'm kidding. He didn't say that. It's not how the universe arose from nothing as he turns 70. The subject that most occupies his thoughts is how he's been able to live with neurodegenerative disease for so long. No, that's not how what occupies his thoughts. Here's what he thinks about most. Women, they are a complete mystery, he says.
Probably talking about how come he gets so many dates being stuck to a hover round.
Yeah, no kidding.
Give each other a high five on that, okay? Just shut up. That's the bottom line from New Scientist's interview with Stephen Hawking, timed to coincide with this weekend's birthday celebration at Cambridge. The theorist is almost completely paralyzed due to the decades-long struggle with the amyotrophic lateral sclerosis disease that we all know as Lou Gehrig's disease. And he's had to provide his answers by laboriously twitching his cheek to operate a computerized speech translation system, if you can imagine that. Hawking also listed what he saw as his biggest blunders in science. His now repudiated insistence that information was destroyed in black holes. The most exciting development in physics during his career, the discovery of the Big Bang's imprint in cosmic microwave radiation. And the potential discovery that would do the most to revolutionize our understanding of the cosmos, the discovery of the supersymmetric particles of the Large Hadron Collider. I don't know. Don't ask me. We'll get Dr. Ron Turner on the line right now from the University of Denver to talk about that and more with us. We've got plenty of time for you, Dr. Turner, and we do thank you for being on the line with us. How are you this evening?
Phil, I'm doing very well. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about Dr. Hawking.
You don't know him personally, do you?
I don't know Dr. Hawking personally, but I've been in several symposiums and discussion seminars and conclaves where he has been present and have exchanged the papers, and, as we all do. I've been published. He's been published. He gets published a lot more than I do. Here's a man who's published and is respected by a great many people, and he's talking about women. And I don't know what that means, and I don't really know why we would be talking about him being preoccupied by women, but it is an opportunity for me to communicate something that I've been communicating on your program for a long time, and I wish to continue to communicate, and that is that Stephen Hawking, Phil, I'll put it as gently as I can, but in a terminology that I think you and your audience can understand. Stephen Hawking would blank a bush if he thought a snake was in it. And
all right, okay, all right. Hold on for a minute.
No, I'm not trying to...
Just hold on, because that's a little crude.
No, it is not, because I...
Well, you're saying he would blank a bush if he thought a snake was in it is a very crude and street-level thing to say, Dr. Turner. And...
I did not use the four-letter terminology.
No, I understand that, but I think it's extremely. Are you telling me that the guy is a hound? Is the guy a slut? Is he a man whore? Is this what you're saying?
Well, it's very interesting to me that you took grave exception to me saying that he'd blank a bush if he thought a snake was in it, but you get to use the term man whore.
Well, I think it's a little. I think it's descriptive, and it's a little less. Call it an opinion on my part, but unfortunately, I have to, make these decisions.
All right, that's fair enough. But I would say that Stephen Hawking, through most of his life and most of his career, unfortunately, during that part of his career when he had and continues to have such great prominence, he is out bird dogging. You know what? as often as he's doing anything else. And
well, what, you're basically telling me that the guy's always out hunting up women.
Well, he's not out hunting up women the way you and I might imagine that or have ourselves in our lives because of the state of his health. And that, of course, has also been something that I've not been shy in communicating, and that is I've never seen anyone. In my life, have I ever seen anyone use Lou Gehrig's disease to get laid? And
you know, well, again, I.
What did I say? I'm being very clear.
No, yeah, all right, okay.
See, Phil, the problem you're having is the same problem that everyone else has. Oh, my goodness, you're talking about Stephen Hawking. Don't talk about him this way. But I have been involved in scientific circles since 1976, and just as I was going to break out and publish a paper that I had worked on quite closely with Dr. John Callahan and Serge Gaborik from the Institute in Moscow, and this was on multiples, on the idea that universal multiples transitional universal multiples at the instance of the Big Bang were responsible for the creation of matter. That paper never saw the light of day because Stephen Hawking found a way to get laid even though all he could do is twitch his cheek. And
all right, hold the line here. We got Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back, and I apologize. Dr. Tarner has a way of expressing himself that is just a little rough for my ears and maybe for yours. We'll continue this discussion of Dr. Stephen Hawking and women. That's what mystifies him the most on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
For the record, women don't mystify me.
I understand.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. The phone system in our control center, in our control room at Talk Radio Network is not functioning. It is not working. It was intermittent. My understanding was, by intermittent, it had dropped. It was dropping full phone calls and doing it quite frequently within a 30-minute span. And so, as a result, the phone company up there in where our control center is located, and if you guys in the phone company can hear me, you know, we need to get that fixed, all right? Our number is, well, what am I going to give the number out?
You always do that. You see the phones are broken, but here's the phone number.
Yeah, you're right. It's ridiculous. All right, anyway, Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us. At least we have one phone that works, Dr. Tarner.
That's my good fortune, Phil. I'm sorry to hear you having those problems.
No, it's fine, and we're able to talk to you here. We are talking to Dr. Ron Tarner from the University of Denver about Stephen Hawking. And Stephen Hawking's recent interview with Science, New Scientist magazine, in which he says the one thing that still mystifies him, women. Here's the one thing he thinks about most. Women, they're a complete mystery. And then he goes on to talk about some of his biggest blunders.
I think he's being very kind to himself. He says, well, my biggest blunder was when he insisted that information was destroyed at black holes. I can't even begin to imagine how embarrassed he must have been to say something that very bizarre thing to say. But again, sitting in that chair and, you know, having that twitching cheek at the endorsement deal with Hoover on it.
We don't have any. I don't know why you say that. We don't have any information that he has an endorsement deal with Hoover on.
Well, all right. But the point is that I think he gets away with an awful lot. And if people only do.
Well, you have contended since you've been on this show many times, Dr. Tarner, that Stephen Hawking is a hound. You know, he's a blank hound, and the guy is on it morning, noon, and night. And he's constantly looking for women and constantly betting women. I don't know how that works.
Well, you don't have to know how. It doesn't have to work that way. With Stephen Hawking, he will with his celebrity and with his mind and whatever else he's able to do, and I haven't been able to figure it out. If I could figure it out, believe me, God forgive me for saying this, because I've got a son and who I want to raise as a decent man. But if I could figure out what Stephen Hawking is doing to attract so many women, God forgive me, but I'd probably do it myself. And God forgive me for that. But
God forgive you. You're just talking like a man.
No. I'm talking like Stephen Hawking, who will stop at nothing, in my opinion, to be intimate with as many women as he possibly can in as short a period of time as he possibly can. And again, I will say, I've never known anyone who has been able to use Lou Gehrig's disease to their advantage when it comes to sex. And I mean adventurous, liberal sex.
How do you know? How do you know these things?
Well, you know, Phil, you're laughing. And
well, I mean, when you say that when it comes to liberal, adventurous, you even know how... You know,
yes, I do, and I don't find any of it a laughing matter. I'll tell you why.
It's very funny when you say that Stephen Hawking is the only guy you've ever known to be able to use Lou Gehrig's disease to procure liberal, adventurous sex.
You know, good night.
Oh, boy. Did he really hang up?
Yeah, he did.
Why? Because I'm laughing about Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, he takes it real serious, man.
Well, I know he takes it serious. How serious can you possibly take it? Yeah, there's something wrong with that guy. I'll tell you that right now. There's something wrong with him.
Well, I mean, you know, he just to try to say about Stephen Hawking and everything.
I know what he was saying, bud. But for him to hang up on me because I was laughing, it's a pretty amusing thing to say. Here's a guy that's been able to turn Lou Gehrig's disease in his favor so he can get, you know, some really randy, adventurous sex out of women. Good God.
I know what you're saying. I mean, I'm not saying I disagree, but I think you got to know Dr. Turner.
Oh, get out of here with knowing Dr. Turner. You know, I'm getting sick and tired of people with their feelings, you know? Everybody with the soft feelings. What is he, called back? Everybody calls back on the show. I can't believe it. They hang up and they call back.
Yeah, I got him on too if you want to talk to him.
Run.
Yeah, and another thing, Phil, I heard what you said about how you're sick of people's feelings. Are you sick of your feelings? Would you like me to talk to you about... How would you feel if I got into a discussion of your mother's sexual habits? And
what has that got to do with, huh?
What do you mean, huh?
What does my mother have to do with Stephen Hawking and his in your view of him as a sexual animal?
Your mother doesn't have anything to do with it.
Then why would you bring her into it?
Because it's a very sensitive topic for you.
To be honest with you, I don't think about it until you brought it up just now. But yes, now that you mention it, it is.
All right. Well, guess what? Stephen Hawking being able to use his Lou Gehrig's disease to engage in threesomes and foursomes with underage girls.
Oh, okay. Now you're going to get me sued.
All right. Maybe not.
I want you to apologize for that.
Bill.
I want you to apologize for that, or I'm going to hang up on you.
I apologize, I have no knowledge of that at all.
You just got a problem with him, don't you?
I'll tell you this much. It wouldn't surprise me if Stephen Hawking was nightly involved with young women. Let's put it that way, all right?
Adults.
Yes, adults.
Okay, you know, I don't know why I even took your phone call tonight.
Oh, here comes the lecture.
No, well, yeah, because just that comment you made a moment ago, and all of this other stuff about Lou Gehrig's disease and what Stephen Hawking, and discounting everything that man has ever done because you're jealous that he got the Nobel Prize and you didn't. And
you heard me when I told you the paper that I wrote.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what that's about.
Well, what? I said the paper that I wrote with Sergei Gablok from the Moscow Institute was on the principle of multiples at the time of the Big Bang Theory. That is, multiples in the extra-dimensional... Well, you don't know what I'm talking about.
Of course I don't know what you're talking about. Why would I know what you're talking about?
Well, then why does Stephen Hawking get all the love?
Stephen Hawking gets love not because he's so groovy with his theories on the black hole. Nobody understands him any better than they understand you. Stephen Hawking is interesting to people because he has overcome this terrible disease, because the man has been featured. You know, because of the terrible challenge of that disease, the media's been interested in him, and they've interviewed him, and they've talked to him, and they've produced television shows. It is a way that we have as human beings, and frankly, I find this to be a very nice thing about being a human, at least a human in our culture, where we raise up people who achieve against all odds. And we do that a lot. And
a guy like me, what do I got to do? Go around? So what I ought to do is go out and do something crazy, like take an axe to my face, and then walk around and go, look at how my face is trucked up. But hey, I've got to do. Boy, you—that is a very weird thing to say, Phil.
No, the weird thing to say was what you just said right there.
What?
That you'd take an axe to your face.
I called in to try to smooth over things, and there you are laughing again. If there was a fast lane to hell, if there was a diamond lane to hell, I'd throw the dummy out of the car and sit you there.
I don't know what that meant.
If there was a diamond lane to hell, I'd throw the dummy out of the car and sit you there. You know, man, you know, and don't you dare put him back on the air.
Give me calls back.
Don't you dare put him back on the air. I'm done with him and his stupid bullcrap. He's got a problem with Stephen Hawking because Stephen Hawking's paper got published and Stephen Hawking got the Nobel Prize. And this guy's paper, which however important it may be, and maybe it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, I don't know. But Stephen Hawking got all the love because of
on account of the Gehrig disease.
Lou Gehrig's disease, yeah. What do you mean, Gary? You don't even know who he is, do you? He was a baseball player.
No, I know that, but I don't know much more about it.
He was a baseball player that lived in the 30s, and he got this disease, and they named it after him. Now,
was that the first time they ever seen it?
No, I don't think so.
Why'd they name it after him?
Are both of you guys going to gang up on me now?
No, but why'd they name it after him?
Yeah, it's not the first time.
I don't think they named it after him. I think what happened was nobody just sat down in a medical symposium and said, let's name it the Lou Gehrig's disease. I think it had a name, and I think that when Lou Gehrig got it, he became the most prominent American ever to get it, maybe the most prominent human being on Earth ever to get it. And so suddenly everybody was familiar with it because here's this guy that everyone followed in the sports pages every day, Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees.
Oh, he played on the Yankees?
Yes, he played on the Yankees. And so, wow, what's wrong with Lou Gehrig? He's got this disease, and probably, you know, the average man being the average man said, well, you know, you mean Lou Gehrig's disease. That's what they probably called it. Now, it probably stuck, like so many other things.
Do they have a disease like the name after a person?
I don't know.
Measles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you mean, measles?
That's named after a guy.
Measles is named after a guy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Who?
Just like a guy named Measles. Bob Measles or something.
Bob Measles, huh? How do you know that?
I'm just saying it stands to reason. What are you going to call a measle for?
You don't know that for a fact. You just decided to come out with that.
No, I'm pretty sure.
You're sure that measles is named after a guy?
Yeah.
Bob Measles.
Bob or Bill.
How come they don't call it Bill Measles disease?
They used to. They used to. And then a guy said that, you know, it's just measles. Meaning it belongs to measle.
So what was his name, Measle?
Yeah, his name was Measle.
You know, bud, you're making all this bullcrap up.
No, I swear to God.
His name was Measle, and they called it measles, meaning it's measles disease, and they just decided to call it measles.
Yeah.
If you're lying to me...
I swear.
I just wanted to use that line that Commander Kaur uses. If you're lying...
Well...
All right, we'll be back. And, Dickman, you're full of crap. I don't believe that any more than I believe... I don't believe anything you say other than the fact that... I don't even believe that. That you're coming to work. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and more on Bob Measle and how we name measles after him. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Measle. world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Now, I don't want anybody to get mad at me. There's people that sometimes tweet me over there on Twitter, and they go, what is it with you and gay this and gay that? Don't you understand, Mr. Hendry, sir, that those of us in the youth generation, we don't care at all about gay this, gay that? And I sometimes will say to them, well, that's interesting because, you know, most of the people who support gay marriage are younger, not older, and they don't have a problem with it. You seem to have a problem with it. No, we just don't talk about it at all. Well, it turned out he was opposed to it. He's young, and but he did come, you got it, from West Virginia.
All right.
So, I'm kidding, but... So I don't bring this news story up to make anyone angry or upset with me, but I'll tell you this, that it was Rick Santorum, and he was at a university addressing the crowd. He was at the University of New Hampshire or a school in New Hampshire? Once again, my printer has failed me, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. He got booed off the stage. And that's what it says here, booed off the stage. Now, whether he, in point of fact, got booed off the stage, I don't know. But listen to what he said. He said to them, the fact that I got a gay marriage question at a college crowd really shocks me. For the most part, his audience was booing, not laughing. Now, if you know anything, if you've demographically looked at this issue, it doesn't matter what side you're on, that's not the point. The point is, if you look at the issue of gay marriage, you find that the support for it comes from younger voters, not older. Older voters, and perhaps it's understandable given the, you know, the difference in age and the difference in attitude and social attitude and so forth, you find that the support for it is from younger voters. So why he would be surprised at this question surprises me about Rick Santorum, but then I've never considered him to be all that socially bright. Now, there's a social quotient as opposed to an intelligence quotient. I guess there's a bunch of quotients, but that has to do with, you know, just how aware are you of the world that we're living in and the American people themselves? I'm sure being a conservative is not the problem, but if you, whatever you are, conservative or liberal, you got to get out there and you got to smell the coffee, man, and, you know, get on the street, as they say, put the boots on the ground and figure out just exactly whether or not your boots were made for walking.
These boots are made for walking, and then someday they will.
Yeah.
But,
go ahead.
One of these days these boots are going to walk all over Bill Measle.
Get out of here, you idiots. All right. Rick Santorum anticipated he would be pressed on his conservative views on same-sex marriage and legalizing marijuana, and the college crowd in Concord, New Hampshire, didn't disappoint him. Said Mr. Santorum, I'm surprised I got a gay marriage question to the college crowd. That really shocks me. For the most part, well, he was joking, but nonetheless, for the most part, his audience yesterday was booing him, not laughing, particularly when Santorum compared gay marriage to polygamy. The gathering was billed as a forum for college students and was held at a conference center. Santorum's remarks sparked a contentious back and forth between the candidate and the college students during the course of an almost hour-long question and answer. Well, what about three men? Santorum responded to a female student who asked him about his position on gay marriage. What a stupid thing to say. What about a man and two women, Rick? How about that, you know? If reason says that if you think it's okay for two, then you have to differentiate with me as to why it's not okay for three. Because we have a law against polygamy. Santorum initially welcomed the exchanges with several students. Then he tried to move on to other subjects as the audience interrupted and cheered the questioners. The former Pennsylvania senator said he welcomed the state's legalization of same-sex marriage because it was decided by the legislature. Still, he defended his position to keep marriage a union between a man and a woman because I believe we are made that way, the way God made man and woman and man and man and come together, union, children, blah, 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 and provide the best environment for children to be raised in. I think that's something society should value and do. All right. Now, because I'm not trying to discount what he's saying, but haven't we heard? We know where he's coming from. The reception was an anomaly of sorts for Santorum, who arrived in New Hampshire last night to large and receptive crowds fresh off his second-place finish in the Iowa caucuses. At his other events yesterday, he connected with his audience, focusing on his economic prescriptions and his personal narrative of coming from a Catholic working-class family with immigrant parents. Hey, I come from a Catholic working-class family with immigrant parents. Well, maybe not working-class.
Didn't work at all.
Mostly. Medical marijuana, then he went on about 40 minutes into the question. The audience clapped when another student asked Santorum whether as president he would allow state gay marriage and medical marijuana. I don't believe that we can have 50 definitions of marriage, just to say that we should have 50 definitions of what life is. Pressed on his stance on medical marijuana, Santorum mistakenly identified the drug as a narcotic before being corrected by his audience. I don't know my medical marijuana laws very well, he joked. Still, he called the drug a hazard to society. These guys that are just doing the anti-marijuana pitch to remain cool in the eyes of grandma, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea, because that's why they're doing it. You know, Santorum on any given day probably could care less whether weed is legal or not, but he wants to make sure that he looks good in the eyes of the established, sort of the established voter base, which it tends to skew old. And that means marijuana is bad. Okay, why is marijuana bad?
Well, you know, it's a hazard.
Why?
It's a narcotic.
No, it isn't. Well, shut up. I just think it's bad. See, that's where you start to sound like an imbecile. All right, fine. You can't answer the question. Just say it. So we know that he can't answer the question about medical marijuana. Okay, great. Number two, the gay marriage, same sex, whatever. These guys that are opposed to it, they keep coming with these smart-ass responses, you know.
What do you mean, smart-ass?
Well, you know, what about three men? I don't think that that is an intelligent response at all, any more than, you know, 50 different definitions of marriage as a response. No, there's not 50 different definitions. I just think a lot of these guys figure they can say these things and they're going to be groovy in the eyes of, you know, the established conservative voter base. All right. Coming up, we are going to do a best of Phil Hendry hour. We apologize, but we have had our phone system go down tonight. There have been simply no ability to take phone calls. I have to go and, you know, take a shower because I'm soaked with sweat and I can't breathe. All right. We'll see you tomorrow night, though, guys. And the phones will be fixed. Join us 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. Eastern, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I think it's totally wrong. It doesn't belong in the Catholic religion.
Sabra Hummus is manufactured by the Strauss Group, a company that strongly...
Oh, you mean the food stamps?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You use those too?
Maria found out months ago, has been, I am told, literally inconsolable.
What comes next is entirely up to you.
Uh-huh. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. An image of a topless male in a magazine is censored by some retailers. Why? Well, it's an androgynous picture. He looks like a woman. That's basically what that means, androgynous. Joining us to discuss it this hour is Reverend David Castorini of his Castorini Youth Ministries, 877-876-7445, as we continue this inexorable march into the future toward the ultimate goal, which is truth, freedom, peace, out. All right. 877-876-PHIL, and don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. We have live Phil TV in HD every night, so you can watch the show while you're bathing or while, you know, whatever.
Bathing?
Sure. I mean, you can stream the show mobile on your iPhone or on your Droid. You can watch it on your desktop. You can do whatever you want with it. It's PhilTV at PhilHenryShow.com, and that is, as I said, one of the features that we have, and we archive those for 5 days. We also have our daily podcasts, and we have our merchandise, so check it out. 877-876-PHIL. Now, this story here is, how do you pronounce this guy's name? Andrzej Pejzisz? I don't know how the man's name is pronounced, but anyway, he is a, how do you pronounce his name? Andrzej Pejzisz. He's a model from Australia, and he is a model who specializes in a kind of a female look, I guess is the best way to say it. He's done a great many pictures of himself looking like a woman. He's not a drag queen. He's not. He doesn't cross-dress. He just has really long hair. He has very feminine features. And there is a photograph of him here on the cover of Dossier magazine, which is the most recent controversial photograph of him, where he's taking his shirt off, and he has, as I said, he's got very feminine features. He's got his hair curled in a sort of a female-looking hairstyle, and the whole effect is, like I said, androgyny, a man who's sort of morphing into, or I don't know if you want to call it crying game, you know, or that kind of a thing. Dossier magazine has been put into a wrapper by the many of the newsstands that carry it. Now, it would be just my luck. These are two U.S. book retailers. As I said, it would be just my luck if all this was taking place in Australia. But some of it's happening here in the United States. They're covering the magazine with a wrapper because they're saying that it is obscene. And why is it obscene? Well, we're going to get to that here with David Castorini, who is a youth minister with Castorini Ministries on the show. And David, thanks for joining us. And I guess what we're saying here is it's a very subjective thing, obscenity. When you look at this picture, it doesn't look obscene to me. It looks unusual.
Well, Phil, I think that's a very good point. I think it is a very unusual picture. And it's not unusual to see the kind of imaging that the modeling agencies, advertisers, and so forth will use. That's not unusual at all. What is unusual, though, I think, is that this photograph has obtained the notoriety that it has.
I don't think I've ever heard of a picture quite like this that has become controversial in the mainstream. It's a now I mentioned the movie The Crying Game. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
All right. So remember when people were shocked to find out that that was a woman?
Well, and you and I talked. I thought that that was interesting because at no time was I ever fooled into thinking. I always felt that that was a man. He looked like a man. Obviously had, as you mentioned about this picture of Mr. Pejzisz, very feminine features, and was dressed as a female. But there are things, I think, that are distinctly male about the human form that you cannot get away from, whether they talk about the Adam's apple. I don't know if that's true or not. For me, it's generally there's always some kind of coloring on the face that connotes a beard, or there is a more of a squareness to the jaw. I don't think that I'm ever quite fooled. This picture here of this young man can almost do it, but you still know that it's a man.
We're talking here with David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries about a magazine cover showing a male model by the name of Andrzej Pejzisz. He's a male model who specializes in a sort of an androgynous or female look. It's such a female look, he's taking his shirt off, that there's some booksellers that want to censor the cover. If you think this is a woman, you obviously think it's a pretty skinny woman.
You do. But we've had examples, I think, in modern culture, in some pornography, of topless women who have very, very small chests. And so it's not as if we haven't seen the image before. But in this image, you can definitely imagine that it's a woman because of the hair. I think if his hair was cut normally and it wasn't in the curlers, I think you'd have a different kind of a reaction, I think.
Well, what do you think is the danger of this?
Well, I don't think there's any danger. I think you're going to have a lot of men who are straight men who, and it's a, I want to let you know something, Phil. It's totally normal. And I get calls. I got a call, in fact, from a couple of members of our congregation who saw this photograph, and immediately were upset because they knew it was a man, but they were a little bit aroused by it. Now, these are heterosexual men. These are straight men.
They were aroused, though, by this picture, and they knew it was a man?
They knew it was a man. Even if you don't know it's a man, if you think it's a woman, and you're aroused by this photograph, and then you find out it's a woman, you should not be worried. And that was my message to them. Don't, it's totally normal, I think, for a man, a heterosexual man, to look at another man who looks very, very feminine, and to be interested. It's happened to me.
I can't say that that's ever happened to me.
Well, if you're honest with yourself, I think you would say...
No, I can tell you right now, I've never been aroused by another man in the sense that you're talking. That is, to see a picture and to say, wow, look at that. It's a guy, but it still looks really sexy.
Well, it is a man who is very feminine. It's a man who is extremely feminine. It's a man who has his hair curled. He is portraying the look of a woman, Phil. If you see the photograph that I'm looking at here,
No, I just put it up on our screen here on our video cast. I know exactly what you're talking about. So, but you're saying to me that there are some men that came to you and were aroused by this.
Yeah, I had two or three members of my congregation who were straight men. Who saw the picture because they knew that I was going to be on your program talking about it. And they called me up and said, you know, Reverend Dave, that I know that's a man, but at the same time, it looks like a woman. And I got momentarily aroused by that. I said, don't worry about that. I think it's very normal, and I think it's going to happen to a lot of guys across the country. I want them to know that, not to be worried about it. You can see your doctor... if you want to, I don't think you have to. Don't be worried about that. That's, I think, what makes people afraid of pictures like this. Because a perfectly normal heterosexual man is going to look at a picture of another man who looks like a woman, and he's naturally going to be attracted to it. And men get very nervous about that, and I don't think they should. I think it's completely normal.
And well, what about those of us who don't?
If you don't get aroused by that, then you have sort of, you've shut that part of your brain off, where you're open to the possibilities. See?
Yeah, but I'm a heterosexual, okay?
I understand that. So am I, Phil. And so are the men that I'm talking about.
All right. You're talking about heterosexual men. I see that. I see that's a man. I'm not aroused by that at all, even though I see he's got his hair in curlers or whatever the hell it is he's doing, and there may be a shape to this guy's hips that look feminine. Nonetheless, he looks like a guy.
Right. He looks like a guy to you, and he looks like a guy to me, and he looks like a guy to all of the other men I've talked to. But the other men I've talked to, with the exception of yourself, Phil, and maybe one or two others, all of us initially, of course, were aroused by that. Why wouldn't you be? He looks like a woman. And
he looks like a woman, and so when you say you're aroused by that, what does that mean?
Well, it means that you see a potential sex partner.
And you see a woman?
You see a woman, yeah. You know it's a man, though. But you come to accept momentarily that having sex with a man may be a very normal thing, because look at what he... look at how he inspires you, you see.
Now, you're a Christian minister.
That is correct, Phil, right.
And you see homosexuality as a sin.
I do, but hold on for a minute. This is not homosexuality. That's your problem you're having?
If a man is attracted to another man, I'm not saying he's a homosexual, but is that not homoerotic?
No, it is. No, not if he is aroused by that man because the man looks like a woman. He knows it don't make you gay if you're attracted to another guy who looks very feminine. That don't make you gay. All right? Is that? And I think that's the thing you're having a hard time with. I'm perfectly straight. And the men in my congregation are all straight. Homosexuality is a sin. All right, I want to be very clear on that. It is against God's law. And our youth ministry, we deal with young gay people all the time, so we love them. We love them, and we give God's love to them, but it is a sin. However, in this instance, looking at a young man who has his hair in curlers and he's pushing his chest out like he's got breasts, you're going to very naturally be attracted to that and see that as a birth mother or someone that you would want to have babies with. It's a man.
You are attracted to a man. Isn't that, for that moment at least, a homosexual instinct?
No, it is not, Phil. You're really mixing it up. And
what? And you're, no, it isn't? You're saying no, it isn't?
No, it is not. No, I'm a Christian minister. I would never, ever engage in that kind of act.
Would you have sex with this guy?
I'm saying I'm aroused and attracted to him. I'm married. Okay.
If you weren't married, would it be a sin to have sex with this guy?
It would be a sin to have sex with a man. Yes. But you're having sex with a man that looks like a woman. And so, in a lot of ways, all bets are off.
And all right, so if guys in your congregation had sex with this guy and told you about it, you'd say all bets are off, it's okay, it's not gay sex because he looked like a chick.
I wouldn't put it quite like that, but...
Well, that's what you're saying, though.
Basically, I'm saying that that young man has his hair in curlers, he's pushing his chest out, just as you said, he's got very seductive hips. So you would say to members of my, I would say to members of my congregation, all bets are off, don't sweat it, you had sex with a woman, all right?
But they didn't have sex with a woman, do you understand? You know,
Phil, I know a lot of things, and the Bible tells us that many things will frustrate, but many more things will clarify, and I think you need to put your ego on the back burner and understand that, Reverend Castorini and my congregation, we, believe me, we are not into homosexual sex. We're into straight sex.
Even though you're having sex with a man...
That looks like a woman.
That looks like a woman. 877, all right, Reverend Dave, this is a picture. You'd have to see it on my website or wherever you can find it. What happened to that, man? Oh, maybe we, I see. It's a picture here of the model Andres Pejic. It was censored by Borders. It was censored by Barnes & Noble. He looks androgynous. He's a man, but he could be deemed as a naked female. And as a result of that, they have asked this to be put in a wrapping. You just heard Reverend Castorini, who is a Christian minister, saying he believes homosexual sex is a sin. But in this case, this guy looks so much like a woman to be attracted to him and aroused by him and maybe even have sex with him is perfectly fine. I don't know how he comes to that conclusion. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And we'll be back with Dave Castorini in just a minute, but I want to tell you about a new show sponsor here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's called Life Change Tea. They are a new sponsor to our program, and I'm going to tell you, Life Change Tea is a, well, it's a life changer. It's a game changer. Life Change Tea is an all-natural, all-organic blend specially formulated, here's that word, to detoxify and cleanse those kidneys, your liver, your colon, and your blood all at once. People who want to lose weight are going to benefit from this great-tasting, non-caffeinated tea. You got a 45-day money-back guarantee on all Life Change Tea products. There's no gimmicks, just results. A happier you. I want you to call this number or go to their website. Here's the number first, 877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877 724-5177, 877-724-5177, or go to their website, getthetea.com. That's G-E-T-T-H-E-T-E-A, getthetea.com. It's a great tea. It's a detoxifier. It's a cleanser. It's the bomb. It is life change tea, and, you know, you're just going to be amazed at how good you feel. Get a hold of Life Change Tea, and we're going to be telling you more about Life Change Tea as the days progress, okay? GetTheTea.com, and don't forget, when you go over there or when you call them, tell them Phil Hendry sent you Life Change Tea. All right, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Dave Castorini from the Youth Ministries. We're talking about this androgynous picture of this model, Andrzej Pajic. And when I say androgynous, a young man, he looks like a female to the point that they've actually put wrapping on this picture in some of the bookstores around the country. Dave, your comment here as a Christian minister that being attracted to this young man is not gay, and to have sex with him is not gay.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. Please don't call into question my very ministry.
Well, you're saying you could have sex with this guy.
It's for all intents and purposes, it's a woman. Look at it. That's what I'm saying. In other words, if you're a straight man and you are aroused by that, that's not a sin. Look at it.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jeremy on the Phil Hendry Show here with Reverend Castorini. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, my thoughts behind it is, like I said before, you can... Things are like they are on the outside, but go down to the genetic material, it's a man, and...
Well, that's understandable. That's understandable. But you are aroused by it, and you're straight, and you can look at that picture of that man. I don't know if you've seen the one that Phil has on his website or not, but the picture of this man is one that... very feminine.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's got his hair in curlers, he's a blonde, he's got very feminine features. It's like that guy in, what was the movie,
The Crying Game.
The Crying Game, yeah. But it's still a dude, you know?
It is. You're absolutely right. It's still a dude. So not to you, not to me, not to Jeremy. It's a woman, and to be aroused by him is not gay. That's what I'm trying to say. You're not gay if you have sex with it.
Well, I don't know how that's...
If you knew that was a man, but yet saw the picture, are you still aroused?
I think any man is, yes.
No, I'm asking you, sir.
Well, yes, of course I am. Of course I am. Any man would be.
I'm not. Does that make...
Well, Phil, I if you're being honest, okay, but...
I'm being very honest. I'm not.
Well, that makes one of you, you know. That makes one of you.
All right. Jeremy, have you seen the picture at all, sir? This guy,
no,
Jeremy, you there?
I haven't. I'm on the road.
All right. When you stop off and you get the news, yeah, take a look at it. Take a look at it. 877-876-PHIL. We're here with David Castorini.
So, I think the thing that's concerning men, and I'm here to tell them not to be concerned, is they're afraid that if they see the picture of this young man with his shirt off and his, his hair in curlers, and he looks like a woman, and they want to have sex with it, they're going to think they're gay. You're not gay. You're straight. You're healthy. You love women.
And one man.
No, no, no.
All right, 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
No!
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Reverend Dave Castorini. Now, Reverend Castorini and I were talking during the break, and he wanted me to look up a picture here of this man, Andrzej Pajic, who is a model. And is, in point of fact, a model that specializes in an extremely feminine look. You can obviously tell it's a guy, But he's got some poses going on here that are super, super feminine. I don't know which one you were discussing. We get the Reverend back on the phone there, Bud. I don't know which one he was discussing, but I think he meant there was one in a bathtub.
Yeah, this guy, he's laying in a bathtub.
Let me see where it is, man. I don't have it. What we'll have to do here is just wing it or something. I don't know. But let me get Reverend Castorini back up on the phone here. Our number is 877-876-7445. And Reverend, tell me what the picture looked like.
Well, it's obviously it's a photograph of this model. He is laying in a bathtub, and he is wearing women's undergarments. And I would challenge any man looking at that picture not to think it was a woman, and want obviously to get to know her, him, it, however you want to say it.
Here's one here. I don't know if this is exactly what you're talking about. I've got to X this thing out. But it's pretty bizarre looking. This cat is in some sort of an upper wrap, and he's... Do you see the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, that right there. That is a perfect example of how much he looks feminine. And look at the hair. And
well, I don't know about that. I mean, to me, that's a guy dressed... It could be a gay man affecting some sort of a provocative or evocative or erotic kind of wear, but nonetheless, that's a man.
Well, I don't know where you're getting that.
Okay, I'll tell you where I'm getting it. I'm going to scroll the picture down here. For those of you who are following along on our website, that's obviously a man. I've scrolled down to his to the man's hips.
I can see a little bit of evidence of what you're talking about, but look at the hips. Those are a woman's hips.
No, those look like a man's hips to me. But
well, again, Phil, you talk about being having a sort of a delusional look. I think there might be a little delusional thing going on with you, because if that isn't a woman, and I think any man seeing that, even a man like myself, and I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian man, but that makes my hands sweat. And I know it's a man, but it's a woman.
877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show here with Reverend Castorini, as we talk about this very interesting androgynous photograph. Here is Ben in Yakima, Washington. Go ahead, Ben. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Reverend Dave.
Yeah, just had a couple of things I wanted to say. I don't know what kind of person would agree with somebody looking at that picture and saying, oh, okay, this man is very handsome. You know, I would like to have sex with him, but...
I don't say that.
You agree with him having sex. You just said that you agree with him having
sex. But I don't say it's a good-looking man.
Okay.
I don't say it's a good-looking man.
You look down at the hips. You're looking at a man. I mean, I see a man. I don't not get aroused by that. If you get aroused by that, then you have some...
No, I think you would be.
Going on, you might be gay. Then you are gay.
No, I'm not gay. No, I'm not gay. I'm straight. And I think if you saw the picture I'm talking about, this gentleman's name is what, Phil?
This is Ben.
Ben, if you saw the picture I'm looking at, you'd be ready to go, too. I mean, I'm a married man. Of course, I would never cheat on my wife. But I'm saying,
I just don't agree with you saying it's okay to have sex with a man. And you're a minister. I'm kind of concerned about what kind of stuff you're teaching the people.
No, sir. I'm not saying. I'm saying homosexuality is a sin. There's no question in my mind. But when you have a man that looks this much like a woman, to the point where it is a woman...
It looks like a woman to you, not to me.
Do you know the picture I'm talking about? As you talk?
I think, Ben, you did say you saw the picture, right?
Right, yeah. The picture on your website, yes.
Yeah, on the dossier?
That is right.
All right. So what we're talking about here is a guy that looks like a woman, but is still a guy. It's like...
Phil, you don't understand. If you look at, like, RuPaul, you know, is a guy, but it looks like a woman. If you look at RuPaul, that's a woman. And for all intents and purposes, I tell my congregation, if you have sex with that, how can you not think of it as a woman?
RuPaul? Is about 6 foot. I met RuPaul in fact, as a guy. I mean, I know what that guy looks like.
Well, I'm not talking about that, am I? You, what you've just done there, you did that on purpose to destroy. What I'm saying is Mr. Henry went ahead and tried to destroy what I'm saying by saying, well, I've seen RuPaul as a dude, and he's about 6'5" of ugly. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He's about 6'5" of ugly.
Well, that, if I were you, I'd disregard what's being said, Ben, because you know what RuPaul looks like. Wouldn't you do that? And I'm saying that if you were straight, and et cetera. I mean, you are straight, et cetera, right?
What are you asking the man? If he'd have sex with RuPaul?
Yeah, I mean, I'm over here trying to... I can't believe that you just asked me that question.
No. Both of you guys are making a joke out of this, and this is deadly serious. You've got straight men who are being seduced by these images. They cannot be told they're homosexuals. They have to remember that they're straight. They had sex with a woman. It's a dude, yeah. Okay, but they're not gay.
I'm sorry.
They're looking at a man and they get aroused and they're not gay. I don't know.
There's a picture you have on your website right now. You have a picture on your website right now of Mr. Pajic. Looks like a chick, got a cigarette.
Looks like a guy, man. It looks like a very effeminate guy. Look at the arms. Look at the elbow on the guy. He's got the cigarettes. He doesn't have the nails of a woman. He's got a man's hand. His hair is blonde. His hair is long. He's got a pretty face, and that's about it. That's all I will grant you. 877-876. Isn't that, you know?
No, Phil, you're not being objective. That's what's going on. You don't want to be seen as a homosexual. And so you're not being objective.
I don't personally give a damn what people think of my sexuality. They want to think I'm a homosexual, but I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you, I'm not aroused by that.
You're not aroused by that. Well, you're all alone, because I'm telling you there are millions of men that look at that, and that's a good, you know, I'll make a joke, that's a good Friday night and part of a Saturday night, too. That's a hell of a Friday night and a big chunk of Saturday night, if I were single.
And you'd have sex with that? And you'd think you're straight.
You'd have to. You would have no choice but to think you're straight.
877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show with Crystal. Go ahead, Crystal. You're on with Reverend Castorini.
Hello. Hi. I'm the first time listener to your show.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was calling in because I was understanding what the Reverend was saying, and I think what he's trying to say is that if a normal, healthy man who's attracted to women sees a man who they think is a woman because that man looks like one, and he would be naturally attracted. However, where you lose me is you say that once you realize that that woman is actually a man, it would still be okay to have sex with that man because he looks like a woman, and that would not make you gay. I'm lost.
Ma'am, first of all, you've had a very, very, the man, and this is something that is very uniquely male, you have a very male response. You look and see a feminine figure and feminine feature. You get the nurturing back that men find so valuable. And so now he is locked into it as if it's a woman. Now you say to him, no, it's a man. The clothes come off, however you want to say it, and take a look, and is that a man or isn't that a man? Yes, it is, and yet I'm straight. I know I'm straight. There's no way you're going to say I'm not straight.
You're saying that it is a man. The clothes come off. You see that it's a man, and you're going to continue.
Yes.
You're going to go ahead and still have sex with that man because initially you thought it was a woman, and you're straight?
Because you're telling people in your
congregation?
Yes, ma'am, because what's happened is you have imprinted and locked onto that person as a woman. You are straight. You know you're straight. There's no way you'd have sex with a man. You've already, what do they call it in racing? You've primed the engine. And you fall in love. You have sex with it. You may see it again. And
what, you know, I notice you're saying it. I notice you're not using the...
What do you want me to say?
Why don't you call it her?
I don't understand.
Well, you're saying it. You don't want to say him, but you don't want to say her. Why is that?
It's not necessary. I know it's a woman.
Then call her. Her.
No, I'm going to call it it.
You're going to call it it. So actually, if you're calling it it, then then it's okay to have sex with inanimate objects also. I mean, it's a man.
No,
or
it,
a
ma'am,
woman.
It's not it's an either, it's not an inanimate.
Exactly.
If you are a man. And you are having sex with another man with the same genitalia, with a person with the same genitalia as you, I am also sorry, sir, you are gay. That's the bottom line.
No.
Tell your congregation
that. You don't understand. No, ma'am. You don't understand.
Reverend Castorini, with all due respect, I don't think you understand.
I know it's a woman because look at it. Ma'am, did you see the picture? I don't think you can comment unless you've seen this man that you call a man. It's a woman.
No, it doesn't matter. I don't have to see the picture. A man dressed up looking like a woman is a man at the end of the day. Let me just say this one thing.
Look at it right there. Right there. Check it out.
All right, she can't see. We've got a picture on my website, Crystal, of Mr. Pajic. The very pouting lips, the long blonde hair. He's wearing a skirt. He looks like he might even have his nails done.
And you're aroused, Mr. Henry, as are other straight men.
I'm not aroused by that. No, I'm not.
Why are you telling him that? Why are you telling him he's aroused? You're aroused because you have homosexual tendencies, sir. That's the issue. I'm sorry if you don't want to admit that, but you should come out the closet.
You are so wrong. I am a Christian minister. There's no way on earth
I'm
gay.
And Christians can't be homosexual?
No, it is a sin. I'm not a homosexual. I am attracted to women. Look at it. No, I'm having sex with what is essentially imprinted as a female.
Let me ask this question, Crystal, pardon me for just a second. If you go ahead and have the clothes come off, just like you said.
That is correct.
And now you're looking at basically you. You're not looking at you, but you're seeing another man, just as Crystal said.
Find it funny, Phil? I'm trying to answer this question without laughing, all right?
I'm sorry, but it's... So you now engage in sex with that individual. You are having sex in a very specific way that is not necessarily the kind of sex you have with a female.
It's not heterosexual.
All right, okay.
Oh, you want to bet? Yeah, I've never had that kind of sex with a female, huh? Wow. Where have you been?
Oh, wow.
Well, get a load of the minister. Get a load of the Christian minister.
Excuse me?
Because I will not go
No
there.
Kidding.
I will not
no
go
kidding,
there.
Man. Get a load of the Christian minister now.
You ask, come on, get real.
You get real, man.
Yeah,
let me
RuPaul,
ask you a question.
By the way, RuPaul does not look like a woman. RuPaul looks like a man dressed as a woman. But you find RuPaul attractive too, huh?
I think every man that's ever seen RuPaul at one time or another was attracted to her.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I'm very, very sorry that the two of you had to make a joke out of what is deadly serious, and that is the maintaining. I'm a straight man, and I'm maintaining I'm straight, even if I had sex with a dude.
No, I'm sorry, you're not. You're mistaken. You're not straight if you have sex with a dude, okay? No, you're not.
How do you figure that, ma'am?
How does she figure? I just got done telling you that if you're having...
all right, you know.
We're going to take a break. Crystal, I got to get on the phone here with the Reverend and calm him down. Thank you very much for your call.
All
outstanding
right.
Call. 877-876-7445. We'll be back here with Reverend David Castorini as we talk about this androgynous model, Andrich Pajic, who is androgynous, is a man... who is very feminine in feature and style and pose and to the point where they literally wanted to put a wrapper on the magazine he was on the cover of. This is a guy he's got a man's chest, but for some reason he's perceived as very, very feminine. 877-876-7445. 7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And that's what I did.
Well, you can tell my audience that. By the way, we're talking here with Reverend Dave Castorini of Castorini Youth Ministries about the male model, Andrzej Pajic from Australia. He is a model specializing in this sort of feminine look, and we've got a picture of him on our website right now. This is him dressed in, he looks, there's like an Asian kimono or something.
Phil, I've tried to make the point that when you look at a picture like that, you're seeing a woman, and you have said, no, it's a man. Of course it's a man, genetically, but you are imprinting it as a woman. When I was in college, I had a date with a young lady one night that went very well indeed. I never hit it off with anyone quite that well. When the end of the evening came about and we said goodnight, of course we kissed, and we got very much involved sitting in my car. And eventually I found out that she had a man's genitalia.
And so it was a man.
It was a woman.
That just happened to have a man's genitalia.
No, that just happened. Yes, it was a man, but it was a woman. All night long, it was a woman. And yes, I had sex with it as a woman. Now, how does that make me gay?
It makes you gay because you had sex with a guy.
I had sex with a woman. I never would have gone out with a guy. Okay?
How long did you date this woman?
We were together for 2 years.
You know something, Dave?
No, I see what you're saying. You're saying because I was with this woman for 2 years, but it was a man, that I'm gay. You're not a homosexual. And this is the thing. There's so many men troubled by this, Phil, in my congregation, who say, am I a homosexual? I'm attracted to a RuPaul or whoever. I fantasize. I said, no, because that you're being fooled and tricked into thinking it's a woman.
877-876-7445 with Dave Castorini of the Youth Ministries. Here is Don in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Don. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, how you doing, Phil? This is my
good,
first
sir.
Time calling. I'd just like to say to
yes,
Dave here that, you know, God is going to really hold you accountable for what you're doing to those people in that church, you know, because you're making them seem that it's all right. I mean, who are you to change God's creation, even if it's in your own eyes? I mean, that's the way the devil got Eve. He made
I'm
her
not trying
wonder.
To change God.
I wonder what it'd be like if I bite this fruit, you know.
I'm not trying to change God. I'm saying,
remember that you are a tripod being.
I bet.
Because I know
I
what
they do.
Are. I'm not attracted to them, you know.
I wouldn't be either.
I'm just saying, if you get all of my points. Okay.
Right.
There's
okay.
nothing that you can say to get me to accept a man as a woman because
well, you gotta see this girl. She's beautiful.
It's not a girl.
I made a mistake. I didn't know. He didn't make no shams out here. I mean,
I didn't.
First thing
I'm not telling God.
Do to themselves. And at the end, I feel sorry for your congregation. You will bust hell wide open in a gasoline suit going down on a grease pole as quick as possible if you continue with that notion in your mind. Because you are spreading, you're poisoning the minds of your congregation. You're not giving them a fair chance to grow spiritually, and now they're going to be confused. I think hell is going to be paved with preachers like you.
I think that by recognizing that it's really a woman, I'm in a gasoline suit, I'm going down an oil pool, but there's a big bag of salt at the bottom. That's how I feel.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much for your call, sir.
Wow.
Oh, don't give me that wow.